You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Leaving work in a mood? Time to change that with Overdrive.
That was Jim Kelly.
Was it Jim Kelly?
That was Hall of Famer Jim Kelly. I think he choked him out.
Today, if Willie Nylander choked out Jonas.
Jonas is right in his grill. What took you so long? Just chokes him out.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Up on TV, we're in Dutchie's world now. Darren Dietitian in here.
That's correct.
You just feel so comfortable on TV.
Dude, I've been doing it forever, 30-some years. Although I will say this, I'm not comfortable with your musical selection. Listen, I'm a visitor. I'm a guest in your home. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate you having me. Thank you very much.
Anytime.
I'm just saying that if I could do some of the musical accompaniments.
Well, make a call. We can do that.
I will. Thanks. Get something. I started in radio, and I used to have to
What's your stuff, though?
Are you DJ.
Like a 70s guy,
no,
80s
you know what?
Guy?
I like a little bit of everything, to be honest with you, because the last time I was here, we went to the Glorious Sons with my kids to go see them, and that was a rock concert.
The Glorious Sons.
Yeah, they're fantastic. They're from Kingston. Bunch of young fellas, bunch of young mutts.
I'll bet get you up we there. Play them. Molly,
dude,
you probably
100%.
Play them.
He was kind enough and gracious enough to play them the last time I was here. But no, my musical scope is pretty varied, pretty wide. I like country. I like AC/DC. I like a little bit of rock and roll.
Right.
I don't mind a little bit of rap. Depends what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah,
we'll make you feel comfortable, Dutch.
Well,
we want to make sure that this is...
It's been fun so far.
You know, home cooking for you.
Yeah, man. It is home.
The TV stuff, though. Like, we bring up that Boom Goes the Dynamite clip every once in a while. Have you ever had any of those moments?
Oh, yeah. Like what? Where I just all of a sudden fell apart?
Yeah, like just a complete nuclear meltdown on
not
TV.
Not really. Honestly, I would have to say probably not. No. And I don't know if it's fear of failure you're scared to. No, you know what? I've been doing it for so long now. It's so comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Like I got on last night and I love it. Like it's the best.
You still
job.
Genuinely
oh
enjoy
my God.
Doing
it's
it.
The best in
and
the world.
And you and Hedge have been kind of a team for a long
been
time.
Been doing
right?
it for a long time. So yeah, it's fun. I like going to work. I love watching. I wish the games, the NHL, had a little more heat. Like I loved it last night in Dallas when Edmonton was playing.
I know. And it was almost a line brawl last night.
You know what?
Almost.
And I don't even need that. But all of a sudden it was like,
I'd love to see that.
All of a sudden Shore comes peeling in there. And I love Darnell Nurse because he's an any era defenseman.
That was a quality tilt last
100%.
Night.
And then Shore comes in and it's kind of like, and he gives him the smelly glove, and he clips Nurse, and it's like you got to know who you're giving a shot to, and then a Nurse is like whoop, flippers off, and he just started pumping him.
He's happy to fight. He fought Sam Bennett a couple of weeks ago.
I couldn't believe Bennett stepped up in weight class and actually did okay.
He's a tough kid.
Yeah, no, but Bennett was a guy. He used to be one of these. You used to see these guys all the time in the NHL that were a very very high round draft pick, first ender. You know, or a first rounder, whatever the case may be. And then sometimes, maybe not a first rounder like Bennett, because he came into the league as going to be a really good offensive player.
Yeah.
And his game has had to evolve. He has not panned out to be the offensive guy that they had anticipated
no,
in Calgary.
He's a third line center.
100%. And now he's getting his flippers off. He's done that the last couple of years.
Like
and
him.
It's an element of his game that I didn't know that he had, but it's that adaptability. You used to see that happen all the time.
Well, now it sticks out more because we never see it.
Right.
If you're a guy that actually throws your body around and fights, you were really good.
Well, I was
notice.
Saying, like, when was the last time you saw a rookie that came in that just
never
blew
happens.
You?
Well, I guess, you know, Rasmus Dahlin, not from a fighting perspective,
no.
But that's a segue into our next guest, who I know is a super fan of the Buffalo Sabres.
And Bills.
And the Bills. I know he's got tickets to the Bills. Here's Jack Armstrong, our TSN Raptors analyst. Do you have seasons to the Sabres as well, Jack, or what?
I had them for a number of years, and after last year, the last few years was such a debacle. We had partners, you know, and they all bailed out on us. So I got stuck with all the tickets last year. So I turned to my wife. I said, I went to 7 games last year. They were horrible. And we get stuck with all these tickets. You're giving the tickets away to people. And as
right.
you know, hockey tickets aren't cheap. So her company has seats. I said, you know what? Here's a novel idea. Why don't we get rid of our tickets and use your company tickets and save some money? So that's what I do now. I go on their dime rather than my dime.
That's
and
a great idea,
I've gone
man.
To a few games. Unfortunately, I can't go tonight. I'm in Toronto. I'm actually standing at a place called Rebel, which is a nightclub.
Yeah.
And it faces this Toronto skyline. So I'm standing outside right now looking at the Toronto skyline. It's absolutely spectacular. I'm at the Giants of Africa Mandela event tonight, and it's absolutely spectacular, this place. And so I came outside. I'm freezing my tail off. But I'm happy to chat with you guys.
Well, thank you for doing this. And I mean, that is a great event. Masai's been doing it for quite some time, and I would assume a lot of the players are there, maybe for both teams. I think Philly's in town already. I would assume they are. And I saw earlier today niceties going back and forth. And, you know, Dutch and I have been talking about it throughout the afternoon, how we're living in a different era where you pump the tires of your opponent. And I saw Joel Embiid was pumping the tires of the fan base here in Toronto, and he said he loves playing at the Scotiabank. He loves the fans here. They're energetic. It's wild. It's great. They're kind of like Philly, just not as nasty. And then I heard Lowry was talking about it. He's like, Joel Embiid, he's up for the MVP. This guy's special. I mean, there seems to be a lot of respect between these two teams.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, we saw that last week with the Warriors in town as well. And, you know, we are in a different age. A lot of these guys share the same agents or marketing reps and all that. You know, these guys are all, every team's got 15, you know, independent contractors. These guys are all very well paid and looked after, and, you know, they're empowered. And, you know, they represent their team, and they fight for their team, and they fight for their city. At the same time, there's a mutual respect for what each other does. And sometimes the hugs and all that stuff drives me nuts. But I think the quality of our league right now on a nightly basis, and I can't remember who wrote it. I saw it last week, a gentleman from Sports Illustrated. And, you know, it's not just the Warriors. And I think a lot of times, particularly ESPN in the U.S. occasionally get so caught up in LeBron, Warriors, you don't hear anything else. And I think there's so many amazing stories going on, and there's so many great games. I think the fact that we've spread our schedule out a little bit, there's less back-to-backs. I think the quality per night of our games last year and even this year are excellent. And you look at a kid like Jokic last night from Denver.
He's great.
I've been saying this for a few years now. This kid, if you have NBA League Pass, this is a must-watch guy. I mean, this guy, to me, is like Sabonis, and that's not the son in Indiana. It's the father. This kid is a remarkable talent and one of the great young players in our game today. And I think if you did a survey right now of people and asked, hey, who are the best all-time second-round picks, I think he would be right at the top of the list at 24 years old. This kid is amazing.
Man, did he put on a performance last night. And I'm watching that game, and he's, you know who he's built like? And he obviously doesn't play anything like this kid. Rafael Araújo. That's what I was thinking about last night, Jack.
You're killing me.
That's who Rob Babcock thought he was drafting. Like, I know, you know, Araújo didn't have that kind of cerebral vision and all that, and he came out of BYU, and he was more of a conventional big, and it was a brutal pick. But that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, this is the guy who, you look at him, he doesn't look like an athlete, but his vision is spectacular. He went off for 21 last night, 15 rebounds, 11 assists, I think. Incredible. I mean, that dude, like you said, if you have league pass, make sure you're watching him play.
No, the Denver Nuggets are must-watch. Obviously, Jamal Murray, Trey Lyles, a Canadian. And then you get a kid like Jokic, Mike Malone, obviously.
Millsap's playing great for them, too.
What's that?
Millsap has been great for them, too.
Millsap's been excellent. I mean, Mike Malone's dad coached the Raptors. Mike was an assistant with Team Canada. And, you know, so there's a lot to like about the Nuggets, and we'll see them again next Sunday night in Denver. But Jokic is phenomenal. And, again, I don't think people talk enough about him. Again, it's too much caught up in the Warriors and LeBron, and there's so many other great stories, and obviously the Raptors are one of them as well.
Well, if Denver keeps winning in the West, and if they end up compiling a top three record, which I suspect that they probably will at the end of it, people are going to be talking about Denver. Denver's for real. Nuggets are a tough out, man. I would not want to play that club, and they're just going to get better and better. What about Philadelphia? Jack, I really wanted to ask you, and I respect your opinion, and you've seen so much when it comes to the game of basketball. Have you ever seen anything like Markelle Fultz, though?
You know, it's interesting. I don't know the medical file and what's going on there. Now there's reports that you know, there's some issues there medically. So I don't know. It's hard to say right now if it's a situation where it's actually is he hurt or is he injured, and that's a dramatic difference. And how much of this is just the
psychological reaction
to you know, the reaction to a tough, you know, start in his career, and now he doesn't know how to handle it. So so you kind of say you're hurt when in fact you could play through it. So I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. They know it. I don't. But it's a shame. But here's the thing. I really believe this. You know, when you look at his collegiate team at University of Washington, they won nothing. And I think too often people get wowed by the beauty contest of a guy's talents. If you're that good in college and you're a point guard, your team should win. I think he won 8 games and they lost 20 at Washington. You'd have to double check my facts.
No, but your point's well made.
You know, and you look at a kid like TJ McConnell who played in the same conference in the Pac-12 and won a ton of games. Now TJ McConnell doesn't win the beauty contest, but I tell you what, if I'm coaching, I'm playing T.J. McConnell every chance I get over Markelle Fultz because I think winning matters. And in any sport, forget the beauty contest and forget the vertical leap and all this nonsense and how fast you run the 40. I want guys that win.
With Jack Armstrong, I'm with you on that. And, I mean, Philly, they're winning, though, in spite of Fultz not being in the lineup. I mean, they would be scary good if we laugh about it, even if they had Lonzo Ball over Marco Fultz, they'd be a much better team. I mean, we goof on Ball because of his dad and because of the noise, but that kid can play, to say nothing of Jason Tatum or any of the other picks that went after Marco Fultz. But when you look at the Raps and what went down last night, Nick Nurse on the sideline, man, this guy's getting teed up. And I like the passion. Quite frankly, I don't think he had a case. You know, I think if the roles were reversed last night when he got teed up, people would be rattled if a big, you know, put their foot down when Kawhi was going up for a shot or Lowry was going up for a shot. I thought it was an appropriate call. I thought Valanciunas didn't give much room to land, and that's a dangerous play, and you don't want to see it. But I kind of like Nurse and how animated he's been.
He fights for his guys.
Right.
He stands up for his guys. He's a heck of a coach, and he really knows, you know, I'm happy for him, the success he's had. He's a self-made man. He's, you know, he's a guy that's paid his dues and put his time in and grinded it out, in a lot of places that aren't sexy. And, you see this in our league a lot. We have a lot of guys that just get handed jobs, as head coaches or assistant coaches in the league because they played in the league and, you know, they're on lifetime scholarship. I mean, Nick Nurse is a guy that rolled up his sleeves and grinded it out and paid his dues and has carved out an outstanding coaching career. Now, he's the first guy to admit to you that he's the beneficiary right now in his first year of an outstanding roster. Usually when you get hired, you get a bad job.
Exactly.
That's how it works. And he's got a good job, but he's done an outstanding job with that good job. And last night's lesson to me, obviously the Raptors really struggled on the backboards. They struggled shooting the ball. But ultimately, the other thing that jumped out at me, and the Raptors are going to deal with this again tomorrow night against Philadelphia, when you have the best record in the league, and even though the Raptors a year ago had the number one seed in the East, they didn't have the best record in the league. It was Houston and Golden State. Those are the guys with the lofty resume. You are getting everyone's best shot now. Like, Philadelphia is going to come in here and throw haymakers. So you better be ready to stand in the middle of the ring for 15 rounds tomorrow night and not only take haymakers, you better be able to throw them back. And that's the reality of it now, and that's a whole nother level now for the Raptors as an organization. It's heady stuff, but it's fun.
You know what, Jack? I watched Philly at the beginning of the year, and I had a lot of expectations when it came to the 76ers entering into the season, more so with the Boston Celtics. Boston's still trying to figure itself out. I didn't know where the Raptors would fit in. I knew they had 59 wins last year. They'd be good. But Philadelphia didn't impress me much at the beginning of the year. But now they've added Jimmy Buckets. And that's not to slight the 76ers. I just thought Toronto could handle them. How much better is Jimmy Butler make that club?
Well, you know, you add elite players, make a dramatic difference because now you got Butler, Simmons, and Bede. And the question is for defenses, when you have players like that, they command that second defender. And when they command that second defender, and you got two or three of those guys, now you're scrambling defensively. And to me, I think in postseason competition, more than anything else, when you have multiple guys that can attract a second defender, and you got a world-class shooter like J.J. Redick, and who's to say with the assets that they have, and they still have them available, if they don't pull another trade and get another perimeter shooter, you know, Philadelphia is super dangerous. And I think it's a five-team race in the East. I think the Raptors are outstanding, excellent, whatever positive adjective you want to give them. You got Philadelphia. You got Milwaukee, who the Raptors are going to see on Sunday. Don't sleep on them. Indiana, when they're healthy, you know, Victor Oladipo, when he's healthy, they're terrific. And Boston is starting to figure itself out right now. We got a terrific five-team race in the East. And a game like tomorrow night, it could be an Eastern Conference final preview. And every game counts. As much as everyone's excited right now about the Raptors and the season they're having, I think that number one seed, because I just mentioned those five teams, is going to be critical. To have home court as long as possible, in my opinion, is absolutely vital in the Eastern Conference this year. Without LeBron in the mix, every little edge that you can get is going to make a difference.
Great stuff, Jack. As always, enjoy the evening. Enjoy the event downtown. Say hi, Jack, for us, and we'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys.
Get inside.
I love the skyline of Toronto, but I'm going to go inside now and warm up.
Yeah, don't blame.
Warm.
All right, man. Go Leafs tonight.
Boo!
Thank you, Jack. Get that garbage out of here, the booing. It's Jack Armstrong, our TSN Raptors analyst. Resident Buffalo Sabres super fan.
Yeah, Bills, Sabres,
Bills,
all things
Sabres,
Buffalo.
Everything. Everything Buffalo. Bob McKenzie will be back in studio. The O-Dog's coming back. It's Leafs Sabres on TSN4. We'll tee that up. We'll get Bob's take on Seattle joining the league as well in the 2021 season. So we'll catch up with Bob. He'll be in studio next. Leafs are in action tonight. They're down in Buffalo taking on the Sabres. You can watch the game on TSN4. Puck drop at 7:30. Pregame at 7. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill back in studio. Darren Detition in the house.
By the way, that was the Glorious Sons. Thank you very much for playing that back.
Dutchie
Kingston
got
Boys. Yeah, they're all Bobby. They're great. It was really a regular rock concert that I went to.
Yeah.
With
really
my
good.
Kids, it was great. Yeah. They sounded exactly the way. That's what I like about country and rock. I like bands who can, when you go see them live, they're as good, if not even better. And these guys were better live.
What's that latest hit? They got SOS?
Yeah, Sawed-Off Shotgun. It's supposed to be SOS, like, get me some help? Oh, man. And they got another one called Heavy. Oh, you'd like it.
How about that?
Couple of whiskeys.
Heavy, Dutch?
Huh? Couple of free pours. No, man. I mean, because I'm just saying, you can listen to a few of those songs, you have a couple of whiskeys, you're having a good night.
Beautiful. Right. Love it.
Bob McKenzie in studio.
We got Smart Dutchie tonight. He's got the goggles on. He's upset.
Oh, man.
Well, listen, if you can't be smart, look smart. But no, at the age of 51, Bob, I had, for years, I was like, no, I'm not, because I had glasses a long time ago.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know what, I really can't see what that says.
You stole those off Kyle Dubas, I think.
Well, listen.
Yeah, Dubas has kind of cornered that market, huh?
You know what? What a smart young man. How impressive is he? My son, when he was at the Sioux, Kyle was the stick boy up there, and they used to talk.
Right?
Absolutely. Him and Tyler, and they would talk about particular players, and they would talk about, because I think the NHL at that point in time had a, I don't know what video game they were playing, but you could have the general manager mode.
Right.
And he literally became one through his hard work and his toil. I'm a huge fan of Kyle Dubas. I like the way that he just...
Okay. Can we just slow down here? Look at what we've talked music, now we've talked about the Sioux, now we're on about Kyle Dubas.
Yeah. What do you want? Is
the
pace too fast for you?
Yes, you're all over
the map.
But
dude, I don't got the rudder.
I'm trying to get this thing back onto the rails.
There's no governor here when Dutchie's...
No,
I'm sitting here listening. I'm like, what the hell are we talking about? If we let you would have just gone... Yeah, well, we'll get to that a little bit later. We haven't had you on since the Nylander stuff.
The Darren Detition show.
It's unbelievable.
Might be.
Whatever.
What do you make of the whole scene, Bob?
Well, you're going to have to come up with a better question than that.
Yeah, see?
A more specific question.
Okay, let me ask you
this. The whole
scene.
It's good. Hey, it's great that he signed.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you think the Leafs are happy? Do you think
the Leafs are very happy.
They're happy.
Nylander's very happy. Or somewhere deep down, both of them are a little bit unhappy.
Nylander
Nylander thought he was an $8 million, $8.5 million player, but he likes the deal he got. He's happy. The Leafs wanted to do this thing much closer to six, but they're happy to do it for what amounts to almost seven, and they've got, you know, a cap hit under seven in the out years, so they're good to go.
All right, good stuff. What are you hearing on when Nylander's going to be back in the lineup? Thursday night,
I'm going to guess Saturday.
Yeah,
I guess
Boston.
There's an outside chance Thursday, but I would say more likely Saturday.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is with this kid, it's like you just put all that money in his jeans. It's like you don't want to pull a groin.
Well, did you see someone ask Babcock if he should get a conditioning stint down in the American Hockey League? Babcock just ghosted the guy. He didn't even give him an answer.
He gave it the old...
He was so rattled.
Over here? Yeah,
he literally was like, I'm not even going to acknowledge that question. Somebody else ask me anything else.
I actually think it's a legit question.
It's not that outrageous. They don't do it in the NHL. Nah, oh, you've talked about it. They don't do it.
I'm not going to criticize a media guy.
Why would you want to sign this guy to that kind of bread, send him down to the Apple? No. He's going to the A and you're going to have some donkey taking runs at him?
No. I'm not going to criticize a media guy for asking a question because I've probably asked some dumb questions in my life. And it's not really a dumb question, but to me, it would be a foregone conclusion what the answer is. No.
He's not going down there.
Well, listen, his brother's in Rochester. He can experience enough. Do you think that influenced his negotiation, by the way, that his brother's professional career at the National Hockey League level hasn't gone as anticipated?
I don't think so.
Eating burgers and bus fumes, and he's like, I'm going to hold out and get the money I believe that I deserve because this is a business.
He's just wired to say, I'm worth this much and I want to wait that long.
And it worked. And it worked. Hey, good for him. He missed 27 games.
Speaking of Buffalo, Rasmus Dahlin, we've had these conversations. I haven't watched him play every night, but I think he looks pretty good. Looks pretty comfortable to me.
He's had some.
Is this what you expected, or did you think he'd be better than this? It's more or less
what I expected. You know, I know O was on SportsCenter saying you maybe would like a little more, you know.
No, not like. I just thought I would see a little more, like something like a wow.
And that it's the nature of the position, but I think he's really played well. And I think early on, I think there was a sort of a sorting out process in terms of his ice time. There was a stretch there where he wasn't playing a lot, and then all of a sudden they started to play him more. And it was a game against Minnesota, and he either got the tying goal and assisted on the winner, or assisted on the tying goal and got the winner. I can't remember. It was a few weeks ago. But I think he's been really good, and I think he's only going to get better. And there have been a few wow moments, but he'll be fantastic.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Is that not just a byproduct of his position too?
I think so.
I can't remember. Harder we were talking defense. About what's the best. The last one I remember you talking about him, and then when I saw him play with Boston when Charlie McAvoy came in, I was like, "That's wow!" Because I was like, "Man, this guy is really." Yeah. It's you don't see too many defensemen.
McAvoy, Werenski were both kind of had some wow factor to them. Aaron Ekblad when he came in,
he won a Calder at 18,
and he was very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, and there's still a long way to go too. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's the first time. A lot of people don't know how green he is, but. I mean, the first time he was ever on NHL ice was this year. He's only ever played a little bit of hockey on North American ice, very limited, you know, World Juniors, but not an awful lot of time spent on a North American rink. I think it's a little different for a kid from Sweden sometimes, you know, so like, you know, all these other kids in North America, they grow up, they know the culture, they understand. Just the whole fanfare and the business and the industry of hockey, that comes as a bit of a culture shock to a kid like Rasmus Dahlin. He's as green as the grass in a lot of ways that way. And as he does a tour of the league, and you probably know, it's the first time around.
You're like, there's that guy I watched.
How do you get to the dressing room and where are we going here and all that stuff? It won't take him long to get uber comfortable.
Is this where your cell phone blows up, Bobby, when there's an expansion team and somebody wants their name floated out there as assistant GM? Hey, remember that time I did you that favor? Kind of float my name out there.
No, I don't do that.
That's the way it works? Is that capital J journalism, as they call it?
No, it's called people that are like, I've had people do it to me. I'm like, what the hell do you want me to do?
Yeah. And float a name. Do the same thing. Float a name.
Take this opportunity and float somebody out.
Float a name out for Seattle?
Yeah.
If I'm the Seattle whatever they are, I go right to Kelly McCrimmon because he's been through this recently. And
I like it. That's a good thought process.
And obviously, look at the success the Vegas Golden Knights had. So 100%. I'm like, I'll pay you a boatload to do it again.
Yep.
Very simple. That's my number one guy.
I like it.
That makes sense. Good.
Kenny Holland is a guy's name is going to get mentioned a lot because the end is closer, you know, in Detroit, and there's people speculate the Yzerman looming in the shadows, and Kenny's got, I think, 2 years left this year and next year on his deal.
And you know what's crazy? This is, and I mean, it's going to have no bearing on him being hired, but I think Kenny played out there at one point in time, didn't he?
I can't remember.
Dude, he was from out west. He is, absolutely. And I think he might have actually played
his off-season homes. His off-season home's in Kelowna, and so it's not very far away.
No, it's just enough, just close enough to get raised
money. So that name will get a lot of traction, and as will Kelly McCrimmon for the obvious reason. And then as O said, then after that you can open it wide open to tons of people. You know, Dave Tippett has been involved with the team. He said all along he did, and had no interest in coaching it. I read somebody today, and I can't remember whether it was legit or not, just saying that he didn't say no to coaching the most recent time, whether he'd be involved on management or coaching side. But the odds are that if they hired this guy to shepherd them through this incubation period, he's going to have some role on the team, and you can take your pick as to what it might end up being.
Right. What I would do is I would look at the Toronto model, and I would just go right up to Chris Pronger and say, do you want to be the president? And blah, blah, blah. And you pick the GM, and then you run everything, because that's just the model I would look at and say, this guy came in here, he's been around the game, he's been on the executive side for a bit, he's in the league. So you be the president, and then you pick whoever you want.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, it's like Shanahan, when he got here, he took over a mess. This isn't going to be a mess, but the expectations are going to be out of whack because of what happened.
But you want a guy to take over and not be a mess.
It'll be interesting to see what structure they use, because the Todd Lewicki, who was formerly CEO of the NFL, not to be confused with Tim Lewicki, who used to be involved with the Kings and the Leafs, and the man who brought Brendan Shanahan to Toronto. By the way, and now he heads up the arena group, Oakview, the Oakview group that's in charge of the arena project. That's Tim Lewicki's company, and his brother Todd, who's been with, I believe, NFL, PGA, a whole bunch, is the president of the organization. I think to what O's talking about, to hire a president of hockey operations that would report to that president. Whether they do that or not, it'd be curious to see.
Bob McKenzie in studio. So Seattle, they're still a few years away from joining the league, but I read today, same expansion rules as Vegas.
Exactly, so the same.
I mean,
150 teams, million more, you get the same rules.
Right. That's what I was going to say. It's not the same bread, though.
No, 650.
Yeah.
500 for was it five? Yeah, 500.
Yeah, it was five
500
for Vegas.
$650 for Seattle.
What's the explanation there? How did it go up 150?
Because they can
price it to them.
Yeah,
business.
I guess if you're willing to pay.
You know why that dog does that to itself? Because it can.
Yeah, that's right. Well, what I mean, Bettman is trying to convince people that this is it, that they're not going to expand anymore. Do you actually believe that, or is Houston?
Yeah,
in the
I think foreseeable future. Yes, Houston's a real good market. And maybe it'll end up potential relocation market. Maybe at some point in time down the road, they would consider expansion, but I don't think so. I think the next, if there's ever going to be the next major expansion, it's what Bill Daly loosely alluded to earlier this year when he talked about, you know what, at some point, I could see us having a European division or teams in Europe.
I mean, that
sounds... Make the game truly global and, you know, but it's not... I mean, it's not on the drawing board, but it's certainly out there, and it's a reason why.
So what would they do?
It's a reason why the NHL has as many. No, it wouldn't be that.
They'd take a few Swedish elite league teams.
Find out which four cities or six cities and has ownership and arena and the three pillars that Bettman talked about today, and find a way to make the whole European North American dynamic work. How would you work scheduling? There's a million things to contemplate. So
they've been talking about
as
that.
I say, it's not even on the drawing board, but it's in the air as something that would be an admirable goal down the road to
that sounds idealistic, and I can understand that. But like when you think of hockey in Europe, you think of the Scandinavian markets, you think of Switzerland, you think of Germany. The money is in London.
Well, yeah.
But they never go there.
Yeah, well,
can they get there?
They've been to London. The NHL has had many games in London, but not recently.
Right.
What they seem to be honing in on is, you know, so, you know, if you've got a
if you've got Patrick Laine on the Winnipeg Jets, then let's get them to Helsinki. And you always line it up so that the star player, one of the star players on that North American team, has a built-in audience in that area. But yeah, in the old days, you know, they used to have the French's Mustard Cup in London, and NHL teams would go over in the preseason and play a tournament over there.
Did they sell tickets? I don't remember that.
I think it was very popular. And so you got cities like Prague, and you got, you know, London and all the European capitals, really.
Well, we were talking about the scheduling earlier, and I don't remember when it stopped. And for all I know, maybe it's happened in the past few years, but forever, the Leafs and the Sabres would play back-to-back Friday night in Buffalo, Saturday night in Toronto, and they're not doing it anymore. I know it's a complicated process. The computer spits it out based on building availability and all that. My sense would be, though, that maybe the league said, we got to stop with that. Because by the second game, around 10 minutes into the first period, Rob Ray was fighting Ty Domi for the fourth time.
I think everybody likes that. But
why not do it?
I don't know. Like you say, it's just Steve Hatzipetros, who puts the schedule together for the National Hockey League, has enough problems. But, I mean, last year was the weirdest thing ever. They didn't play. I want to say that they didn't play the Sabres until real late in the year, and then they played them like five times in the final 3.5 weeks of the season.
They did.
It was really bad because Buffalo was
really bad.
Was dead. Yeah. You know, Buffalo was dead in the water, and so the games were like, ooh, boy. And so it's got a little more juice tonight because Buffalo's being playing well. I say that they've lost 3 in a row, which is just the natural byproduct of what happens after you win 10 in a row, and 7 of the 10 games went to shootout or overtime.
Right.
Which is to say, listen, I'll give Buffalo full credit for being a much more competitive team. They've taken a step. I think they're going to continue on their upward trajectory. But the reality is the 10-game winning streak, there was a huge amount of luck involved.
I heard that, well, I believe 9 of the 10 victories were decided by one goal.
Yeah, and 7 like, shootout or overtime.
Who cares? Exactly. You fire one of those together, you're getting in the playoffs.
No, for sure. I just don't. We were talking about the strength of Buffalo's schedule, and when you look at where they sit in terms of the standings, I'm not really buying it.
They got an 8-point buffer, though, now.
No, and they played well. And I hope they do make the postseason, too, but I don't think they're as good as their record indicates. They are predominantly a one-line team, but it works for them so far.
I think they'll contend for a playoff spot. I just don't know that they're necessarily
guaranteed. Will Boston get it healthy enough to take a run at that third hole?
I see McAvoy was back skating in practice today, which is a good sign. Char and Bergeron out, but they were hanging in there for a while.
They still win games.
Yep, they still win.
I saw their blue line the other night, and I was like, "Where is everybody?" Yeah, Greslick, and I'm like, "Where's like that was about?"
There's some good young players.
Oh, they do. You know what? That's one thing that the Bruins have drafted extremely well.
Some people were goofing on the Oilers last night. Like McDavid was sick; he couldn't play. Everyone's looking at that roster, and they're like, "Man, it is something else when you take 97 out of the lineup." And it happened here in Toronto when Matthews was out, but they kept rolling. They kept winning. And it's a one-off. He's sick. He's going to be back whenever they play next. But, man, that's a big hit, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
Like, when
he
comes out, you really realize they don't have a ton of depth there. They just don't.
And the way they're playing right now, they're obviously playing to win 1-0 or 2-1. And McDavid's used good for...
Two goals.
Two breakaways, at least.
For creating, in the new environment, creating for at least one goal a night. Which some nights is all they're going to need with Hitch.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible.
It's all they're going to get.
And then when he's not there.
And on some nights, that's all they're going to get with that roster.
Yeah.
But
we'll see. Leafs Sabres on TSN 4 tonight. Good seeing you, Bob. We'll catch you on the panel.
Thanks, boys.
Here's Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider. Leafs Sabres, 7:30 puck drop on TSN 4, pregame at 7. Is it a quiz night tonight?
Of course, yeah.
I think it's always.
Have you seen the questions? Quality quiz questions, or
no? It's all on the fly. Like you got to answer it on the fly.
Really? Wow! How about that?
Yeah. The magic of TV.
Will Nylander come up? How much are you talking Nylander tonight?
You know what's amazing is that how they know their answers and they immediately pop up on the Chiron simultaneously.
Yeah, that's kind of cool how they do that.
Yeah,
somebody
it's weird.
Knows what
how
you're
they
see.
Read your mind. Oh,
so
it's awesome.
Yeah,
it's I love when there's a wrinkle when the guy goes off script though and he forgets. Oh, geez, what was I gonna take?
That happens.
Was I gonna
a
take
lot.
Rocket
well, there's been
Richard?
A couple wrinkles where the host, take? If it's a guest host or even Duthie screws up sometimes, goes to the wrong guy first.
Yeah,
and then you're like,
kind of throws
not
the quiz
who I
mask.
Was picking. Yeah. What are you going to do? So we'll tee that up. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by Proline. Raptors with a big one tomorrow night. Philly in town.
Yeah.
Jacked up for that. Dutchie's in here, the O-Dog. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Best bets brought to you by Proline. Looking at the NHL board tonight. Pittsburgh, they got to get hopping here. But Colorado's paying 210. Colorado just laid a beating on Pittsburgh last week.
Big Bednar fan. I think he's good coach.
He's done a great job.
He's been awesome.
Remember how carved he got his rookie year? Now, they had one of the worst seasons in the history of the league.
I know, but they gave...
Yeah.
Dude, that was a muttmobile. He had nothing there. Patrick Waugh's like, here, good luck with this, bud.
What a shoot deployment by Patrick Waugh.
Oh.
Like, on the eve of training camp. Check, please, I'm out.
Oh, for sure.
I'm going back to Quebec City.
Dude, where's Ron Carey? He's just like, I'm never going to play for this team
again.
He was looking for him. He's like, I'm out.
See you later.
Yeah, Patrick's pulled some.
Oh, yeah. He runs his own show, man.
Oh,
does his own thing. But I'm on Colorado paying 210 tonight.
Why wouldn't you?
The Habs, they got to get going here. They're going to get a win tonight over Ottawa, I think. They've been in games, and they just can't get it done. They're going to get it done tonight. Under the number, Arizona-LA. It's two teams. Who's going to score on those two teams? Throw down 20, you can score 100. Clayton Keller's a beast, but he hasn't had the season I thought he was going
to. You look who he's playing with?
I understand that, but if you're he's a good talent, but if you're like a star that you hope can be a superstar, you got to be better than this.
I hear you, but Domi's out of there now, and I think they focus on him because
he's their guy.
He is.
He's their offensive guy,
man.
Throw down 20, you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with Proline. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Proline, get way into the game. So a lot of games in the NHL tomorrow night. The Raptors are back home against Philly. Good time to be a Toronto sports fan.
Dude,
like these
fantastic.
Two teams, man, we've talked about it, right? The narrative in the city, the buzz. You can feel comfortable suggesting that, knowing that these are really good teams. And they're well operated. And it's
when's the last time you said both teams?
Oh,
like
never?
Real good, like legitimately really good
like
teams.
Both teams can't wait till the spring because who knows what can happen. It should be a fun ride.
Mm-hmm.
Not too often can you say that.
No, never. They're both going to the playoffs. Like they're unless something catastrophic
and
happens.
Not only are they going to the playoffs, they've got business going to the.
Yeah.
Listen, I remember doing radio way back in the day when you were just hoping that one of the teams would actually make the play. They were so woeful, so horrific, that you knew going into the first of 82 that it was going to be a long, painful year.
Mm-hmm.
No, these are the halcyon days right now. You've got the best team in the NBA and the Toronto Raptors, and they are very much legitimate. And you've got the Toronto Maple Leafs, who have one of the best records in the NHL, and they are legit.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be a crazy spring.
Absolutely. Expectations.
Dude, you know what I'm doing? I'm saving all my holidays to the spring, man. It's going to be
wild. You're just
going to
shut down and party
like
a rock star?
I'm going golfing and drinking and...
watching games.
And that's it.
Get down to Scotiabank.
Dude.
Like, those are going to be... You talk about the scalpers, man. They're making up their money for a decade of bleak times. You know how much money they're going to make in the spring? If the Leafs and the Raptors go...
I'm going to sell my press pass. Absolutely. Let's throw it out there right now.
Do that. Put your
it's now up for bids.
Some booze bag up in the press box.
It's the same
there's
thing.
There's Darren Detition.
Yeah.
The guy's 290 pounds.
Listen,
just a hairy animal up there going crazy with face paint on.
Dude, I'd love to see it.
Well, I mean, it's... the Raptors, we've seen it. They've been to a conference final. The Leafs have not won a playoff series since 2004.
Honestly.
Like, that gets lost, I think,
it's
sometimes
crazy.
When we talk about the excitement and the expectations. They haven't won a playoff round in 14 years.
I've written on Cams about it, and you can even take it one step further. If you look at just their futility, it's incomprehensible. Like, that is, for a hockey mad nation, it is such a disservice to the fans of this city. And I'm not a Leaf fan like you guys. But I would love to see the city light up and they get a winning team like they currently have.
They
right
have one.
Now.
Because, a regular season team, though. Like,
yeah,
it's time
but you
to
know
do
what,
some
though?
Damage.
I honestly do think that you got to learn how to lose before you can win in the postseason. We saw that with Washington forever.
I got no
and then they got Lightning. The only thing that scares me is the Lightning. Like, I honestly think Tampa right now is dummying some clubs. And Tampa, I'll tell you what, Toronto, Tampa. That would be a skill fest, and the Leafs are right there with them. They might win that series.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. If I could pick, we should do that exercise someday. If you could pick your ideal round first, second, third, whatever.
Stay away from Tampa.
Yeah, no, I understand, but I'm talking about entertainment value.
A lot of times, as far as playoff success, for let's say if you're a Leaf fan and you, obviously you want them to go far, that dream matchup, if your team gets it done, doesn't happen, then upset, and then all of a sudden you face a weird team that you match up way better against. And somebody beats out Tampa, and you don't even have to worry about them.
No, I thought.
Then you're on to somebody else that's like, oh, wow. Because I went to the finals 1 year. I'm like, oh, man, New Jersey again, and somebody beat them out, and then blah, blah, blah. Leafs, I don't want to play the Leafs. Well, it was actually the Islanders. I'm like, the Islanders would beat the hell out of us, and we ended up with the Leafs, which I still thought they could have beat the hell out of us, but they didn't scare me.
No, I thought Winnipeg
just like
last
a path.
Year. Yeah. I thought Winnipeg last year was going to the Stanley Cup final. I really did. I thought once they got past
Vegas
Nashville,
in the
that's
conference
what I'm saying.
Final.
Once they get past Nashville, they finally beat their nemesis.
Yes.
You know, they get past Nashville, I'm like, oh man, the Jets are going to, they're going to dummy the Golden Knights. They're going to go to the Stanley Cup final. And I'm like, and 100%, they're going to end up
They lost in five
yeah.
to Vegas.
And I thought conversely on the other side, too. I'm like, all right, when it comes to the East, you know, Washington. I thought they were going to play Washington because once Washington got past Pittsburgh, I was like, you know what?
Doors are open, man.
I like their business.
That's
we'll see.
Exactly. Well, Leafs Sabres tonight. Look forward to it. Again, we'll tee that up tomorrow night when the Sixers are in town. It's going to be a big game tomorrow night at Scotiabank.
We're going to kick it off tomorrow.
At 4 p.m. Shout out. Thanks, Dutchie.
My pleasure.
Thank you
for having
me. We'll catch you on SportsCenter tonight. Oh, we'll catch you on the panel. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.